Come home. Let's just stay in Romans chapter 12 tonight. Let's stay there. Let's look at verse 9. I feel such a just kind of an unusual. I can't explain it. Pastor Moran and I had the opportunity to be in staff meetings today with our church, and we've got to experience something that it was funny that what I felt like the Lord kind of directed me to preach on and share this Wednesday night was that in the area of honoring. And so I spent the last 45 minutes before I come to church just weeping under the presence of God. It was a powerful moment, and both Moran and I we got our hands lifted in the living room just thanking God, praising God because of how good God is. And you can be 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 miles away and know that you're in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for the family we're a part of, and thankful for what God is doing. And even through this conference that I didn't get to participate, I did participate today. We've been in the meetings and watching them, but not in person. And we have a few people there. I think they fly back tonight. I think that's right. Amanda and Krista, they fly back tonight. Is that right? They're not staying longer or anything. They're not taking a sabbatical, right? So praise God. But they'll be back, I think, tomorrow. But praise God. Thankful for everything that God is doing. And the honoring. I'll just say this because there's a level of honoring, and it's not a cultural thing of honoring. It's a kingdom thing. I think sometimes it's because I've lived in another culture, and I see Hawaiian culture as a very honoring culture. But tonight I want to talk about the culture of church in the way of honoring, because I feel like sometimes we miss this. We miss this a little bit. We don't quite understand what it means. And I'll be honest with you. I'm the very guy that had to learn about this. I had to learn about what it meant to honor men of God. And I wasn't taught. So I feel like sometimes when you're not taught, you don't understand these things. So I'm going to jump into this tonight, and I don't know where it's all going, because I feel like the Holy Spirit's really is going to help me tonight with this as I teach this. Amen. So let's just lift our hands and let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you tonight for the word, and I thank you for the Spirit of truth. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, come upon me tonight, Lord, to share this word. I pray for the anointing, Lord, to come upon me, come upon the congregation. I thank you tonight that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, give us ears to hear then, Lord, and Father, a heart to receive, and give us great vision, Father. Yes, Lord, give us great vision in this hour to see what you're seeing, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. If you're there, if you got your phone, you got your Bible, you got your whatever you're carrying with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I'm just going to go. I don't know that I'll cover all this tonight, but just because of the first part, that's really powerful. But let me finish this. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Man, that's Father, thank you for this word. That's a powerful, powerful word. I read it off this page and it just jumps into me. And it just becomes alive. And I'm already excited. I'm already excited about this. You know, a sign of spiritual maturity for a believer, and just to touch on one word, that word spiritual maturity is that we learn the definition of love, and we learn to love first. We learn to love first. Love is not a controlled thing. You can't control people. You can't maneuver people to love, but it's that we learn. We learn. There's the Greek has different definitions of love, and I'm not going to get into that tonight. But that you learn the very nature of God, and you know, and Paul's saying something here in Romans, love must be sincere. You know, we all probably have at times felt like we've experienced a fake kind of love. Does anybody ever feel like somebody walks up to you and says, you know, come here, Ryan. It's my future son-in-law. So he's going to be my you know, example all the time. So, you know, somebody can just walk up to you and say, hey, man, I love you, bro. You know, but not really mean it, right? You know, and you're like, you know, this guy and I had words last week, but he's like, yeah, love you, bro. You know, and so we've all experienced, you can sit down, I might use you again, but we've all experienced that, well, you know, hey, I love you, but you in your own sensing maybe feel like, well, that's not really true. You guys tracking with me? Just track with me tonight, because I want you to understand that God can call us into a place that breaks us through that. He can call us into a place that breaks us through. I'm not moved. I'm not concerned. I'm not focused on whether or not how much that person loves me. Because you know what Christ did? He loved every sinner. He loved every person, and he's called everybody into salvation. But what happens is a lot of times is that our minds can get locked up into this thinking. Well, the love. Yeah, you don't love me. But what happens, we look in the world as a form of love, and we get our definition of love from the world. But see, God is love. God is love. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That's true love. That's the example. The greatest example of love is what's been done and what's been given to each and every one of us. The free gift of salvation. The free gift of salvation. But a sign of maturity for a believer is that we love like Christ loved. Not love like the world defines love, or not love like maybe how we see love. I mean, because you know, love is a very strong word. You guys understand? It's a very, very strong word. And I think sometimes is that we throw this word out so often that we, love you, man, love you. But we don't have the true understanding. You know, and I read this scripture recently. Take your Bibles, go to John 13. And I want you to see this in the Word, and I feel like I felt like these, just even the first part of this, and I'm not going to stay here very long. You know, as we're called to love God deeper, there's something that is going to be required. There's a requirement to go deeper with God, and can I tell you, to be honest? This is the thing that separates us in our growth a lot of times. The thing that causes us to go deeper with God in love is to love the very thing He loves. That's people. Pastor, you don't understand. I've been beat. I've been used. I've been misused. I've had this. I've had that. You don't understand. But there's a place that you can go great. You can grow greater into the things of God. Once you get the example that you're forgiven, you're absolutely 100%. You know that all my sins. How ugly, right? You know, I don't even like to look back at the ugly self. But everything that I've done, every wrong thing, every sin that I've ever committed, it's now washed and it's now covered. That's a love that I can't even fathom. That's a love that I can't even comprehend. I mean, that's, but God first is love. But if we're going to go deeper with the Lord, there's a requirement that we love what He loves. And that's people. You guys listen, that's people. Pastor, I'm friendly with people. But you know, can I tell you, there's another level. There's another place that we go. It's not just being friendly. But it's to love like God love. You know, the Bible says that one would lay down a life for a brother, right? Brotherly love. I think that's phileo. Is that right? Phileo? Am I saying that right in the Hebrew? Brotherly love. John 13, let's look at this, verse 34, 35. And it says, a new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So please understand, there's a requirement to go deeper. And this is the main point that I want to make tonight, is that, you know, I can say that I love God. Okay? But then to take it a step further, do I want to be, who in here wants to be a disciple of Christ? Amen. All of us, right? So I want to be a disciple of Christ. So then there's a requirement to go a little further. And you'll see this in the writing of John, that he said that you love one another. That's how I'll know that you're one of my disciples. That you love one another. You know, sometimes it's easy to love. You know, in a world sense, you know, it's easy to love the guy that would show up in the Porsche outside, right? Or the Cadillac Escalade. Man, look at what he's driving. Look at what she's driving. Wow, that's, you know. But somebody that maybe had to walk to church. Somebody that's homeless. Somebody that maybe is just now pressing into the things of God. You see, you know, and it's like a broad stroke here, but it's like to see that God doesn't matter the stature of the person, his love equally is the same for each person. Because he guess what? He loves the guy or the girl in the Cadillac, but he also loves the guy walking and coming to church. That person that drives an hour and a half. You guys understand, you know, when you get people start coming to church and they're driving an hour and a half to be in the house of God, to be here with you, they drive 30, 40 minutes from Morgantown. Brother David, you've been how many years? 3 years now, right? 3 years. And, you know, he'll text me, he'll call me, hey, I got a worker, I can't, you know, and that's what he does. And now, you know, and what's so cool about Brother David is, like, you know, the people are in the hospital in Morgantown. I'm going to go pray for this person. He'll send me a text. You know, it's like it's an assignment. But you know what comes alongside Brother David is people that are saying, Brother David, we're praying for you. As you're going in, guess what we're doing? We're praying for you. It's probably going to get cold in here. I see you got to maybe run that up just a notch. I'm hot, but I'm more concerned about you all. So anybody cold? You guys? It isn't back. No, it's hot. Okay. As long as you guys are okay. Praise God. But see, that's a God kind of love. That people begin to love. They begin to love what God loves. Can I tell you tonight, though, God loves the church. You know what I love about the church is that the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That on this rock, I build my church. I build the house. The gates of hell. You know, I'm not nervous about the church. I'm not worried about. You know, the world should be concerned when the church isn't here. That's the rapture. I'm not talking about that tonight, but that's when the world should be concerned, when the world is absent of the church. Guys, we have much more control, much more power than, you know, and that's the thing. We can't give away this spiritual authority. We can't give away, you don't stop praying for a community. You know, it's funny, the things that you watch God do. You know, we've been praying for businesses. We've been praying for this whole community to be changed. And right before my eyes, in a matter of 5 years, this whole community's been transformed. We were in here pleading with God 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Father, we need this. We need that. We need businesses. Our people need good jobs. And, you know, come up today, Senator Manchin, I think he's still Senator Manchin, had posted and shared, there was $100 million coming to an organization in Fairmont. $100 million. You know what I pray, Father, you know, maybe our people should get jobs there, amen? They should be making $1 million of that $100 million. You begin to pray that way. But can I tell you tonight, you begin to position yourself you got to think differently. We've got to think differently. God's called the church to advance. We're not in retreat mode. We're not in, well, you know, if the God wants to bless me, he wants to bless you. If you're here long enough, you're going to know that God wants to bless you. Amen. He wants to take you higher. And I believe it for this house and for the people of this. You're coming up higher. You're coming up higher. Don't settle. Don't settle. You know, don't settle.
Don't settle. Don't settle for just, you know, half this, half that. You know, Brother Justin shared with me last night, he's going back to school. He said, Pastor, it's different now. He said, I went the last time, I just screwed around. I've been there. I understood exactly what he was saying. I got a scholarship to go to college. I was, the day they give out scholarships, I was playing golf. I got a call and they said, hey, you know, you got a scholarship. I was like, shut up. You know, I thought my buddies were just messing with me. They were handing out all the scholarships to all the smart kids. I didn't go to scholarship day because I wasn't going to get a scholarship. My guidance counselor had me come down 3 weeks before this whole thing goes down. They still do that in schools, scholarship day. They give all these smart kids scholarships, right? They still do that? Somebody help me out. Do they still do that? Yeah, okay, so. Do they still do that, Dylan? They still give. Okay, you were playing golf, right? Yeah, you're playing golf. So I was playing golf. I was playing golf. You got a scholarship. And I was like, yeah, I didn't get a scholarship. So, yeah, I ended up got a tuition-free scholarship. I kept it for a year and a half. Had to maintain a 2.5. My last semester, I dropped down to a 2.4. But I didn't really want to be in school. That's the honor. I was just, what did you take? General studies, because that's the dumb. It's the dumbest thing in the world. It's a gimmick. Why do you need general studies? What for what purpose? Be focused on what you're going to learn. Get it done. Get out and make money. Amen. So, generals. I'm not busting. I went to college. I have a 4-year degree, so I'm not busting on anybody. Half the classes they give you, you don't even need. I can name a few, but I'll leave it alone. Amen. Right, Tyler? Am I right? He's like, what? Why do I need bowling? I mean, why do you need to take bowling in college? I don't know. You know, scuba. You can take scuba in college. No foreign language. Miranda had 5, and she still don't know how to speak any. She took Spanish 4 times. Z, you need to help her. I honestly, her 4th semester of Spanish, have you learned anything? See, I know C, I know taco, I knew enchilada, I'm not even saying it right. I knew some Mexican. And I still can't read off the Taco Bell menu very well. So they're like, what'd you say? Enchilada. It's the Appalachian way of communicating, praise God. But I say all that to say, like Brother Justin, he said, you know, I'm going back to school. And I remembered, I'm coming back to it. I remembered the story. Something's different in me now. I'm ready for this thing. Because when he told me, he said, how many are you carrying? He said, 18. I said, good. Because these people that go to school, they carry 9 hours, 12 hours, and they think they're full time. Give me a break. 12 hours of college? What do you do with the rest of your time through the week? Nothing. You know, I was that kid in college. What did you do? You hung out and played ping pong. Waited for your next four, you know, your class was 4 hours apart. I mean, what a racket. College is such a, I'm sorry. Let's get back in the Word. But see, what God wants to do is he wants to turn things around for people. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what we're going to see God do. I'm telling you, you got young people. You know young people. Get them here this fall. You're going to watch God begin to ignite young men, young women of God. And they're going to get a faith in them. You're going to watch what God's going to do. And I believe even as we're praying for Fairmont State, we're praying for WVU, we're praying for these places. I am revival. You are revival. Are you catching this? Are you catching this 2 years later? It's like, were you praying for a revival? No. I am revival. When I go out, I am revival. Brother John and I, yesterday at Menards, you know, we're revival. Next thing you know, we're standing in Menards with one of the workers in one of the gates, grabbing hands and praying. He's like, I like your church. He hasn't even been here. You guys are all right. We got a men's event. We're going to throw axes and knives and golf and do all. We're going to eat like kings. This is my kind of place. What happened? Don't be ashamed. Listen, you've got to move to a place. Something just shut down. It was the AC. I thought the rack. Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Here it comes. Here it comes. You're revival. You care, you know, please quit thinking, I've got to wait on God to move me. No, you just go move yourself. I gotta wait till I feel it. Come in here on a Wednesday night, leave. You felt it. Did you have you felt it already? Have you felt the see, there's empowerment that's the Holy Ghost. If you don't have that, you can get that tonight. You can have that. You can have that empowerment come upon you that you relationship with you. You know, He values you when you show up in prayer. Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, 7 days a week. He values you when you show up in prayer. He values you when you show up in your prayer closet at home to pray by yourself. When you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you get to that place where you're calling out to the Lord. He values that. And He, you know, you're honoring the Lord with your time. And the doctor always says, you know, we honor the Lord with our time, our talent, and our treasures. You know, listen, I talk about this tonight to for us not to value honor as the world sees it, but to value honor as God sees it. I mean, it's a very big topic. I know Brother Don's taught upon it, and you taught a couple in here. How many months? You know, quite a few months. You know, just on honoring. Maybe that's a life group we need to start. It's a great message. Because you know what's happening in this world today. You're being taught not to honor anything. You know, I remember Christians coming in here. What I call you, Pastor, I don't call you Brad. Call me whatever you want to call me. And you know the reality of it is, I never became that person's pastor. There's a difference in being someone's friend and being a pastor. You know, Pastor Josh talked about this morning. He said, don't let your congregation call you daddy or mama. And I thought, that's interesting. And he jumped into this, and it was really good. He said, because if they start calling you daddy and mama, he said, they're going to place that kind of a demand upon you as daddy or mama. You only have one dad. You only have one mama. Mine have passed. My kids only have one dad, one mama. He said, don't. Because then they're going to expect you to be there at everything, right? Where's dad and mom at? Dad and mom didn't show up to the birthday party. Well, dad and mom are pastors. I'm not against birthday parties, right? I try to get there. We'll try to be. But I'm not against that. But see, that dad and mama kind of thing is that of a very close-knit relationship. We're pastors. God's got to use us to bring correction sometimes. Not always easy, right? Not always easy to preach a word that would bring correction, right? Bring a rebuke. Bring something to bring you back into a place where, you know, no, I need to do it God's way, not my own way. And you know, and I heard this today, and I was like, you know, it was so good. You know, Zephan pulled me aside the other day, and he said, Dad, I'm going to call you pastor. And I knew why. He said, I know you're my dad. He said, but I want to honor you as my pastor because you speak into my life. I'm not turning this around to be on me. But the Bible says God has given us pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists. We don't in this house, we don't hold those things in low regard. We hold them in high regard. You know, Pastor Josh, you know, he said, you know, if they see you as dad or mom, or they see you as a friend, they're going to call you up and say, what car should I buy? What should I do here? What should I do? You know, because, you know, and guys, I'm not telling you that we don't want to be in relationship with people. We are, and we will be. It has nothing to do with that. But sometimes, you know, and I've learned this, and I've learned it the hard way. Sometimes we can get so close to something. So close to something.
we don't value it, or we don't honor it. God had to show me this. He had to personally show me this. I remember when in Harrisville, I had a pastor, and I was learning about honor. This has been 15 years ago or so, and everybody would call him Ronnie. He was a state trooper. He was the chaplain at the state. You know, I remember being in the board meeting, and I was the executor or whatever to go do the interview, the initial interview with him, and everybody in the boardroom kept calling him Ronnie, because they all knew him. They grew up with him. You know, we should get a hold of Ronnie and see if he wants to be the pastor. Just to check with Ronnie. And I'm like, who are you guys talking about? Oh, the guy that used to pastor the church. I said, are you talking about Pastor Ron? They're like, yeah, Pastor Ron. And I'm like, and I remember that. It's like 15, 16. And I was like, you become so familiar with him, and you've grown up around him, that you're just like, oh, it's Ronnie. See, this teachable moment, because that was a teachable moment for me from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit checked me on that and says, don't you ever call him Ronnie. And I remember one time I did, and I'm telling you, it was like I felt a clap come across the back of my head. You ever had a Holy Spirit clap that hit you so hard you're thinking, what in the world was that? It was a Holy Ghost. Smack across the back of my head. Don't you ever call him Ronnie just because you've heard people call him Ronnie. Forgive me, Lord. He was a pastor of 200, 300 people. Then he was an apostolic leader overseeing 85 to 100 churches, and they were still calling him, well, Ronnie's down there doing work for the kingdom. He's an apostle. It's not about the titles. It's not about the titles. It's not about that. We've got to, you know, I think we, the church, we move into an area where, man, we begin to see these things as God sees them. Not how we see them in our own hearts, but how God sees them. Amen. I don't know. I just, yeah. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. I might talk more about this. I might get Brother Don maybe to share some messages around it too. If you don't honor it, you won't love it. If you don't honor it, you won't love it. If you don't honor it, you'll never learn to love it. It's like prayer. If you don't honor prayer, you're never going to love it. Praying for people, if you don't honor that, you're never going to learn to love it. Now, you might be in a place of learning, right? And that we are. We're always learning, right? But if you don't, whatever you don't honor, you're not going to love. I mean, think about it. You get a new pair of shoes. Oh, man, isn't a new pair of shoes great? Anybody like, you ever get a new pair of shoes? You're like, man, I got to do everything to do. I keep them clean, right? You take them home. You got a little bit of dirt on them. You're scrubbing. Oh, I got a little dirt right there. I got to get them. How about a new car, right? That smell. I've only had, I think, semi-new car almost, but that smell. Man, you love it. You honor it. You care for it. We got to treat people the same way, right? We got to love people the way God loves people. We got to honor His house. That's something I feel a deep conviction about, that we're going to honor God's house, and we're going to start doing that more so here. It's His house. It's not my house. This isn't. I might own the title deed, but it belongs to Him. Amen. So, praise God. Everybody, just bow your heads tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I just, tonight, if you're here, you know, I have two calls tonight. You know, listen, maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you have a different view of honor. Or maybe you have something locked up inside of you. Maybe it's bitterness, unforgiveness, a hurt, a pain, something that's caused you from from honestly loving. Maybe you got hurt in your heart against somebody here tonight. Can I tell you tonight that God can set you free? The living God, the one true living God, can set you free. And you know, I feel just to pray for that tonight. That anything that would, you know, maybe you have, like I said, maybe you have a different idea. And you've been hurt, and it's made you jaded in some areas. Can I tell you tonight that God wants to bring a healing to your life? If you need a healing in your body tonight, we're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on you and pray tonight. If you need a physical healing in your body tonight, we're going to pray. And lastly, I never want to miss this, because Jesus, you'll see that in the Bible, in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Hear that one more time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father except through me. Your good works can't get you there. Whatever it is that you might think, well, this is how I get, you know, the Bible is very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me except through the Father. How we do that is through confession. And I want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe you've never heard this. Maybe you've never heard a message before around what, you know, because see, a lot of people believe in God. And 85% of Americans say they believe in God. But there is something about that name, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those were the very words of Jesus. And he makes it very easy for us. He says, you know, listen, if you confess, your sins before men. You can confess your sins. You believe that I died on a cross and I rose again for you. The Bible is very clear. It says you shall be saved. And that puts you on the pathway. That puts you on a journey. You know, that's salvation. That's sozo. You have access now. You have complete access now. So those two things tonight. If you know, and thirdly, if you need healing in your body, come. We're going to pray. Yeah, I don't care. Whatever it might be, we believe in God's healing power. But those three things, if you need healing tonight in your body, you need salvation. Maybe you're in here tonight and you feel a stirring in the area of salvation. You say, you know what? I want to call upon the Lord. I want to make him Lord of my life. I want to call upon him. I want to do that tonight. I want to do that tonight. I want to give you that opportunity. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mary, come. Amen.